First of all, I'm a mum and I'm 29 years old, and I've been a single mum since the age of 23. So when my son was 1 year old, always been adventurous since a very young age. We grew up from a poor family, so we didn't have the money to go around traveling, and that made me want to travel even more. That's also what made me want to give my son Joshua a push and give him the travel that I never had that I wanted when I was younger. I think experiences and living and visiting different cultures is it means so much more to me than buying materialistic things. I mean, everyone wants to buy something to make themselves feel good, but that's only short-lived. It's the lasting memories that I want to invest in, which I think is very important.
And are you doing that as primarily as a travel writer, as a travel blogger, or is it for Josh in that it's kind of an overview of the world and an experience-building thing?
I first started it after we came back from Peru, which was our biggest trip, and there was just so many things that I wanted to share with other parents. I mean, when we were traveling, everyone was saying, "How can you do this by yourself? You have a child." I was like, "No, this is amazing. Everyone should do it." So it all started off with me wanting to share that amazing trip that we had, because I knew how happy it made me feel in my life, how much of a push it gave me, a confidence boost, if you like, that made me want to show other parents that they could do the same. And then it was documenting more things for Joshua to see also when he got older.
What do people think is the barrier if you're a single parent?
And they think it's dangerous. They think that, oh no, you can't go abroad with a child. What happens if, you know, your son is ill or something terrible happens? But then you have travel insurance, and then you take medication, you know, you take the right vaccinations, the right medical equipment with you if you need it, and you research these things thoroughly because you're taking your child is the most important thing to you.
Have you had to cope with Josh being unwell abroad?
Yeah, one time when we went to Lake Titicaca when we were traveling around Peru, and he had some diarrhea, so he wasn't eating so much. He was being quite picky and not really kind of eating anything. And he was, you know, obviously he had diarrhea, so he was losing fluids. But I already carried with me, because I took a trip to Boots before we went to Peru. So I already had my Dyrolite, and I had some like Calpol and these kind of things. And then we stopped off in a pharmacy in Peru, and the lady there was amazing. She was like, "No, make sure he eats bananas. Give him some of this medicine." And she showed me, it was like, I can't remember what it was now, but it was like a really good medicine. And he within 24 hours, he was fine. He was completely fine. And we were traveling then as well, because we had to catch a night coach back to Cusco. Yeah, I know. I just comforted him, and we just, you know, we was in the hotel and resting, and yeah, no, it wasn't too bad. He got over it and we survived. He had medicine. It's no problem. Like, for me, being a single parent since my son was 1 year old, I've managed so well, and traveling was just, it seemed like a natural step, and I knew that I could manage it. So with two parents, would it be easier? Maybe. I don't think so. I like it, just me and my son. And if I had another child, would I do it? I would still do it. Even if I had four kids, I would still do it. Traveling, it wasn't hard to save up. Just every week, just put some money aside. No matter how small it is, that will add up. You just have to cut back on the things that you don't need, assess what the things that you want. Yeah, just keep saving.
If you're a solo traveller or you're a couple without children, you're able to go out and do things late at night on your own. That might not be so easy if you've got a youngster with you.
It's never a problem going out late or partying. I'm not a party animal. I've never have been. I like to go out, you know, during the day and really experience the true adventure. I mean, we've gone on night walks in the Amazon jungle, and my son, he came along. We had private guides with us that would carry him and protect us. So yeah, it works out.
Is it cheaper or more expensive if you travel as a single parent?
I think it's like paying for two, really. I mean, I think the airlines, they had changed, I think, a year ago, where they made it slightly cheaper. You didn't have to pay VAT on flights. Flights cost the same roughly as an adult, like for when you're flying. And accommodation, yes, that's expensive. But whether it was one person and, you know, you had a husband or a boyfriend, it would still be another cost, if you like. It would still be two people, so I'm still paying for two, and me and my son. Sometimes you can get discounts, sometimes you can get free meals. You just have to, you have to ask, you have to let them know it's a child staying and that you want to have a cheaper price. Most of the time they'll give it to you.
Do you think travel companies are addressing what you could argue could be a gap in the market? Because there are clearly a lot of single parents who want to travel.
You know, there are more single parents nowadays than there were like 10, 15, 20 years ago. So I think, yeah, they need to start coming up with some tours. If not us single parents are going to do it for ourselves, then we're going to start our own tour companies. We're going to start our own adventure holidays because we'll know our market because we are our market.
What should they be doing to make things more attractive to single parents?
I think that's the one thing that turn a lot of people off is the prices. They're extortionate. That's why when we went to Peru, I planned the whole thing myself. I did it for less than half of what we were quoted by a tour company. And it was just phenomenal to actually see that. I've got a spreadsheet in Excel which show all the prices and the comparison. Maybe I'll publish that on my website.
Is there a particular area where they're making big markups, where there was a really remarkably big difference?
Just the tours. Like if you wanted to go to Machu Picchu, they'll charge you hundreds. I mean, I did it for a fraction of that. And trips to the Amazon jungle, they'll charge you more than £1,000. We did it for so much less than that. We stayed in a 5-star lodge with air conditioning and we traveled around and we did everything we wanted to do and more. And I don't think that these tours would have been able to do that. And the pricing, it just wouldn't have been attainable.
How did you pull that off with not speaking Spanish?
I don't know. Just research, I guess, looking around to see what other people have done. I use TripAdvisor a lot to help me check out some locations and some hotels and stuff, but just always look out for a good deal. Even though we didn't really get discounts on traveling, I think one time we was looking on one website and we saw that they had a special offer. I think it was instead of $300 a night, we got it for, I think it was $40 a night in some retreat with a spa. And that we wouldn't have been able to have done if we had booked in a group or if we had booked with another as a tour package, because this is something that had just come up. You know, I just happened to have been looking that evening. I didn't have anything planned for the next few days and bam, I saw this great deal and I took it. So that's another thing. When we planned the trip, I knew where I wanted to be and how long and roughly the kind of areas I wanted to stay in, but I didn't have everything booked down to a T because I knew things change all the time. You can't just like put your money there and just be like, that's where I'm going to stay. Things change all the time. You may want to go somewhere else. You may meet people. You have to kind of like be in the middle, have your plan there, but have a rough plan. I think I've written about it in one of my blog entries about booking the trip to Peru, that you have to have that flexibility there.
I suppose that gives you the confidence to walk away from a price that you think is too high.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
How do you decide where you're going to go?
No, what happened is, for example, our trip to Peru, that was a 3.5 week long trip. With that, I took 6 weeks to plan it. So a few hours every day, I would jot down the main attractions, which I thought were worth visiting in the time that we had. And the trip to the jungle for me was the most amazing thing we could have ever have done. You know, we went there and we saw alligators and dolphins and macaws and poisonous frogs and every kind of jungle animal you would imagine, and monkeys swinging through the trees. And it was the nature reserve that really did it for us. We went to the Pachiasim area nature reserve in northern Peru in the Loreto region, and that was a dream to go there. I wanted to show him that to me was educational, to teach him the dangers of the jungle and to teach him the importance of conserving the rainforest, which also tied in with the national curriculum at the time when we went. He was learning about saving the rainforest.
Do you have to work all of these travel plans around the school timetable? Because, I mean, that's been a big controversial issue of late, isn't it?
Yeah, it has been more difficult. At the time when we went to Peru, they were just coming in. I remember going back into the school and them saying to me, so where have you been? It's like, we've been in Peru. And they handed me some leaflets and said that now they're coming out with, the local government's coming out with some fines for parents who take the children out. But we did that over Easter break. So you had 2 weeks and we just took a few days off either side of the half term. So they tend to have parties at the end of half term. I would have preferred to take him around the world than stay at school and have a party.
You've spoken a lot about taking Josh to different places where he can learn things that, as you've said, that were featured in the national curriculum. What have you learned because you've been travelling with him? Are you seeing the world through a different pair of eyes? And have you learned things because of it, because you brought Josh with you?
Yeah, I think I've learned to see the real Joshua when I've been travelling with him. I see that he's more fun in himself. He's more confident. He's happy. He's free. But when he's at school, he doesn't feel so happy. He feels more constrained. He has to sit at the desk all day long, and he finds that hard. He finds that difficult. So I believe Joshua is, he would enjoy life so much more if he was travelling, if he was out more. If he was out in the world, just being free and learning from the environment around him. So not so much learning in a school environment, but learning from the world and the different things you encounter every day in life. I think that would be the best life for him. But unfortunately, I have to work and he has to go to school, and so it can't always be possible.
But he's seen an awful lot of things that youngsters his age would not normally see, isn't he?
Yeah, definitely. I think so. I don't think any of the children in his class have really gone away on big trips and such.
When did you decide to start recording your experiences in such a detailed way? When did you decide to create the website and the blog?
The website for me was a bit of a personal challenge. I've always wanted to make my own website, and I thought, why not do something that I like? And then the travel, and we had the trip to Peru, so just everything made sense. So I managed the website all by myself. I've made it all myself, which I'm quite pleased with. And I think it's good to document these things, because life is so busy. You know, every day, every year, we're filling up our days and our hours with so much more things. And I think that you forget the moments and you forget the time. So I think it's important to keep a record of what you've done, and then you can read over it and reflect. And often I show Joshua the pictures and I read out to him the adventures and the trips that we've had. He's like, oh, mommy, I do remember that, especially the piranha fishing in the Amazon rainforest. He remembers that because he was the first one to catch a piranha fish that day, and he also caught the biggest. And then we went back to the lodge and we cooked it, well, the chef cooked it, and it was fantastic.
I didn't realise you could eat piranha.
It tastes like chicken.
Eat them before they eat you, I guess. How has your blog changed in the time that you've been doing it? Have you learnt things that you've have meant that you've had to alter, or chosen to alter, the way in which you approach it?
No, not really. I think I've always been the same. How I've been the first post I've ever written until now. I think now I've definitely got better at writing, I think.
And how much of a, well, time investment is it? Because, I mean, it's a big thing, travelling to all the places you're going to anyway, and you're doing it as a single parent, and then writing a blog and documenting everything as well. How much time would you apportion, if you're away, say, on blog activity?
If I'm away, I would write something short, so I wouldn't spend too much time writing. But that's usually for short trips. If I was away for a longer trip, which we're planning on doing later this year, I would probably invest maybe like half an hour every evening to do that. I mean, I'm not one to sit around and watch television and things like that, so I'd rather sit and write. But usually I would probably do a couple of hours every weekend.
And with your blog, do you work collaboratively with other single parents?
It's something I'm going to be doing in a very soon. I've got lots of emails from other single parents who want to work together. I've been having lots of people approach me for different things, so that's happened all in like the last 2 or 3 months, because my readers have increased a lot the last few months, which is really, really good.
What's the nicest thing that you've read about your blog, or the nicest praise that you've had passed on?
I like it when other single parents come to me and they say, I'm so happy I found you, and you know, it's great to see other single parents going out there traveling, because it's something they want to do. And for me, I was inspired by another single mum who was traveling with her son, and that's what made me want to travel a bit more. It kind of gave me that push to do that while Joshua was so young, because I think we started traveling when he was 4 years old. And yeah, when I saw other parents or single parents traveling with young children, that made me want to do it as well. I didn't feel so worried, because it had been done before. You could read about it, you could feel more comfortable. And that's what I also want to give back as well to my readers, to let them know that if it's something they want to do, they can do it.
So do you view it as a kind of almost an empowerment blog?
Yeah, you could say it's empowering. I think that, I guess it has changed a bit then, because I know in the last 2 months I have had more comments from other single parents, mainly obviously single mums, saying that they're very happy to read about the adventures I've had and that someday they want to do. And I also do get often every weekend, every week, I get emails from single mums saying how happy they are that they found it, they want to travel. Then they ask me questions about, you know, vaccination, schooling, and how do they manage, how can they save up and things like that. So I just try and offer some advice.
What would you say to single parents hearing this who, you know, would love to do what you do, but there's some kind of obstacle that makes them, well, prevents them from making that leap? What would you say to try and encourage them to go for it?
I would say think about it carefully, and if it's something that's been on your mind for more than a couple of months, say like a year or so, then do it. It means you really want to do it. I mean, I wanted to travel for a long time before I actually did it, and it's that thought on my mind that kept coming back to me, and I just knew I had to do it. If it's something you want to do, go ahead and do it. You won't regret it. I mean, we spend a lot of money on our travels, but I would never change that for anything. I'm so happy that we invested that in experiences that will stay with us for the rest of our lives. I just say, if you want to travel with your kids, do it now. Do it while they're young. Do it while you're young, while you can still get out there in the world, while you're still that, you know, fearless. Just enjoy it.
Is there somewhere that you'd recommend above anywhere else?
I would recommend Peru in South America because it's cheap. And there's so much to see and do. They have so many different climates. They've got the jungle in northern Peru. You've got deserts in the south. You've got, like, in the center, you've got the mountain range. You can visit Machu Picchu, Cusco. I mean, it's amazing. You've got everything there. You can, and it's pretty easy to get around. It's quite commercial in the sense that, you know, lots of people have done these routes. Lots of people have traveled, but it's not busy. You still have the adventure. You can go off the beaten track. I definitely, you get a good exchange rate on the money, especially if you're from like the UK.
Have you got any tips and recommendations you'd offer people?
One time when we was coming back from a holiday, and I was getting really stressed with Josh on the airplane, and the guy next to me, who's actually a really good friend now, he's like, I'm going to help you out here. I'm going to distract you from your son because it's you that's stressing, not him. Leave him alone. I was like, okay, I think I've just had a long flight. Let's just chill. And that was great. And just take some activities with you on the plane. And like now we've got iPad. I would never leave home without the iPad if I was traveling. Definitely amazing. For safety wise, make sure you always have your telephone number on your child. Make sure you have it like in their sock, or you make them wear wristbands. That's something that I find is really important. And always, 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 when you're traveling, no matter where you go, if you're dropping into a hotel, you take a business card with you. So if you need to get back, you can, and you don't understand the language, because in Peru, we don't speak Spanish. So there was one time where I was like, oh no, we don't have the number. We don't have the address. We can't explain it. So the next time I made sure I took a business card with me so I can just simply show the driver, and he's like, hey, I know where that is, and just drop us back. And other advice would be don't spend loads of money buying souvenirs, because you're going to have a hell of a bill when you come back bringing over like extra luggage. We did that, and it was crazy the amount of stuff we were bringing back with us and lugging around. It was too much.
Where is going to be featured next in the blog?
Oh, I'm not sure. I'm not sure where I want to go. It could be Mexico, or it could be Thailand. It could be Indonesia, Malaysia. It could be China. It could be China. Joshua wants to go and ride on the bullet train. Maybe it could be Tokyo, or, you know, somewhere in Japan. We don't know, but we're planning something. We're going to do something at the end of this year. And we're also going to be going on a big, big, big trip next year.
We look forward to reading about it. Tina, thank you.
Thank you so much.